All right, church, thank you for checking in. We're in the book of Joshua, chapter 18. We are moving towards the back end of Joshua. Obviously, there's several chapters left, but we've been moving through it for quite a while now. And in chapter 18, Joshua gathers everybody together. He's quite old at this point. I think he was 87 when they got to the land, and now they've conquered a good bit of it. And I'll just read this, the first couple of verses to you. It says, "Then the whole congregation of the people of Israel assembled at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting there, and the land lay subdued before them. And there remained among the people of Israel seven tribes whose inheritance had not yet been apportioned. So Joshua said to the people of Israel, 'How long will you put off going in to take possession of the land, which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? Provide three men from each tribe, and I will send them out.'" And he tells them to go out and go through the land and basically draw up a Lewis and Clark expedition, mark it all down, write it all down, and go get it done. Lewis and Clark, maybe that analogy didn't work for you. I don't know. They two guys, Meriwether Lewis and William Clark, sent out by President Thomas Jefferson out into the western United States in the early days of our country to mark it down and find passageways out to the Pacific Ocean and so on. That's a different story. Tangent. Sorry about that. But he's like, guys, how long are you going to wait? When are you going to start actually possessing this land, actually occupying it? We've gone through it, church, over the past couple of chapters. There's more detail yet to come in these next couple chapters as well. But these tribes were given their inheritance. Their borders were marked off. And there's been long lists of cities and kings and geographic regions that have been captured and conquered. And Joshua's like, guys, there's more to go to finish. But what you really need to do is take possession of what's there. We've been traveling around as a nation, as a united nation of 12 tribes moving together, conquering this land. We've marked off the boundaries. Now go and live in it. Take possession of it. See this verse 1, the land lay subdued before them. They had done the conquering for the most part. And we've seen many places that they failed to conquer, but they've done a lot of it. Now go occupy it. Go live in it. Go settle it. Use it. How long are you going to wait? And he comes up with this plan to send three people out, three scouts out from each tribe to mark it all down and everything. And he's trying to make sure that this actually happens, that they take full possession. All right. And I get the sense, a clear sense from Joshua, how long will you put off going in to take possession of the land, which the Lord your God, God of our fathers, has given to you? How long are you going to put this off? God's given it to you. You're putting it off. How long are you planning to put it off? He's in a hurry, right? He's kind of, I don't know that he's lost his patience, but he is telling them to keep this moving, guys. Keep going. Settle into this land. Move in, occupy it, take possession of it. What are you waiting for? Something I can do to help? Okay, we'll write up a book about it. We'll send scouts out. We'll do it. But guys, get moving. Get. All right. Now, there's a lot of lessons you can draw from this, but God has given them this land. Look, he's not just being selfish. He's not just being greedy. He's not just being impatient and hurry up. He's saying God wanted us to have this land all along. He wanted our parents' generation to have it, and they died in the wilderness because they wouldn't take it. They were afraid. And now we're in, and we've crossed the Jordan River. We've conquered these cities. We've seen God's miraculous provision here to help us, to make us win. And he's told us over and over again, and Joshua's old enough to remember the 10 plagues of Egypt. He took us out of that in the crossing of the Red Sea. What are we waiting for, guys? Obviously, God wants us to do this. This isn't just for ourselves. This is God wants us to do this. And even if it was just for themselves, wouldn't they want to do it? Wouldn't that be enough motivation of its own? Here's all this land that is available to you. Wouldn't you want to settle it? What would you be waiting for? But especially if God himself has commanded you to do it. Have I not commanded you? That's how Joshua starts, the book of Joshua. Go do it, guys, and what are you waiting for? So what you and I can learn from this is we need a constant sense of urgency in our walk with God. We need a constant sense of move along. God has great things. God has high standards, a high calling, a great purpose for you and for me and for your family, for your church. He has a high calling, a great purpose. Let's keep moving in it. Because what happens is, yes, God's calling and purpose for you is incredibly big. It's you and I are always the limit to what God will do with us. God is not the limit. You and I are the limit. How much are we really willing to press in? How far are we really willing to go in the Lord? How desperately, how hungry for him are you, right? You and I are always the limiting factor there, not God. And your circumstances and the hardships that you face and the difficulties and the questions that you, unresolved questions or something, those are the things that hold you back. They do not hold God back, all right? But as you see and as you begin to move into God's great plan for your life, you start to recognize more and more just how big it is, and it becomes very overwhelming. And the longer you go without pressing that gas pedal, the easier it will be for you to settle in to some sort of compromise. And Joshua seems to know this. The longer they go content with conquering half the land, the more content they're going to be with half the land. The longer they go saying, well, you know, like we looked at yesterday in chapter 17, well, there's a lot of iron chariots. And that area, that's a wooded area. It would be hard to build roads through that and settle that and build cities there. The longer they go without fully finishing the job, the easier it will be for them to never get around to finishing the job. The longer you go compromising with sin, the more acceptable that sin will turn out to be in your life. You will just begin to accept it. The longer you go without starting new family traditions that serve the Lord, the longer you go without stepping in to serve in the church and dig in and jump in fully, the longer you go without that, the more content you will be without that. It becomes much harder and harder as time goes by to suddenly become, to start accelerating and suddenly become aggressive in growing in the Lord. You just naturally, your momentum runs out over time. Your momentum decreases over time. It does not naturally accelerate. You have to keep on the gas pedal to accelerate, same as anything else, right? Likewise, a train that is moving is much easier to steer than a train that is not moving, okay? And this train is moving. Joshua has moved them into the land, and they have seen great momentum and conquering of the cities and stuff. And he says, guys, keep it up. It took a lot of work. It took generations of effort to get this train moving. And now you're the generation that train has come through. Don't be the generation where the train stalled. Your parents were the generation that failed to start up the train. Moses got the train moving across that Red Sea with the 10 plagues, and then your parents stalled it out and didn't, and they had to die off. And now you guys had to be the ones to come in and hit the gas pedal and reignite that. So you keep using my train analogy. You had to reignite that ignition switch and get the train going. And now you're in here, and don't stop now. Finish the job. Finish the job. So look, for you personally, where you're at in your life, God has begun a good work in you, right? He has brought you to repentance and brought you to salvation in Christ. And there is more to do. There is more to go. There might be more sin in your life that you need to address, that your salvation has not been fully worked out into every area of your life. There's parts of your life that still need the gospel light to shine brightly on there and illuminate and walk in the light. There's areas like that. Some of them are going to be turned into strongholds if you let them be there. What is currently a bad habit will, if you do not address it, will become a bad character trait. Your habits form your character. And character traits are much harder to change than simple habits. Or even if it is not a habit, it's just a thing that every couple weeks you fall off the wagon and you're just, you get into trouble. It's not a habit. You don't do it every day, but every couple weeks, the temptation to pornography is just too much and you cave in and you hate it and you promise it never again and everything else. Every couple weeks, every couple months, you lose your temper at home with the family in some way, and you try to control it and you're pretty good at it, but every couple months, it flares up again. Some sequence of circumstances happens and you cannot handle it. Maybe you have become very devoted and you're very good at daily prayer, daily Bible reading and everything else, but every so often you fall off the wagon and you miss a couple days in a row, and it might start to add up because of either laziness or low priority or just prioritizing other things. It's the same thing as a low priority. You put things higher than it. And you want to do better, and sometimes you're making better, but then you fall backwards. Those sorts of things. How long are you going to wait to take possession of the whole thing? Are you going to keep it going? Because if you allow that to become a habit and you become content with that, where I'm doing my best, but every couple of weeks I slow down and it's no good, and then I restart. If you're content with that, then that's going to be your ceiling. That's going to be your border of just how much you grow in the Lord. You're going to grow in the Lord until you're content with where you're at, and then you're going to stop. Israel is going to grow in their territory, in their cities, in their occupation of the land, and their possession of the land. They're going to keep growing in it until they were content with it, and then they're going to stop. And God has a greater purpose for them, and they're content with a smaller one. And so they're going to stop. And Joshua knows there's nothing like a moving train. Keep moving. Keep your foot on the gas pedal. Don't ever stop and look around and say, this seems like a good place to stop. Not if God's kingdom isn't done yet. As long as God's kingdom has more work to do, let's stay on the gas pedal, because you will very quickly find yourself stalled out and dead of momentum. And then the train, it's very hard to start a train moving. It's very hard to stop a moving train. So do not stop the moving train, because it will be much harder to restart it. Instead, make the most of it. Make the most of that momentum that you've got, and stay on it, all right? Now, beyond you personally and your family, beyond your personal devotions, your Bible reading, your prayers, your ongoing mortification and fight against sin, where you're putting sin to death in the body, Romans 8:13, beyond that, the kingdom of God is way bigger than that. The kingdom of God is way more than just you fighting off sin in your life all the time and you seeing victory. The kingdom of God is supposed to be global. The kingdom of God is supposed to expand beyond. Joshua and his guys had a hard time conquering a small spit of land, the land mass of Israel. It's relatively small, okay? This is a big tribe, millions of people, but in the scheme of things globally, it's not that big. And they couldn't even fill out and occupy and fully take possess of their little wedge of the Middle East, okay? Well, Jesus has a much bigger calling for us. He says, to the ends of the earth. He says, make disciples of all the nations. Be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. So you and I, if Israel, Joshua's in a hurry to get them moving, guys, keep it up, and they just have a small bit of land, well, shouldn't we have all the more urgency if we have a globe to fill with the gospel? All right? We have a much bigger thing. Joshua and Israel had a hard time conquering just their small bit. Well, we have more people. There are more believers in the world than there were Israelites in Joshua's day. So we have more people. So we have that going for us. But we also have a whole globe to do. So let's stay on this. Don't be content with just your own fight with sin. We got a whole world to make disciples of. So stop trying to compromise with the world. I think Andrea said it yesterday during church. Stop trying to be friends with the world. Stop trying to just get along. Jesus tells you to change it. He tells you that the world needs to be changed, and that will not happen by compromising. Compromising means you've changed. If you're serving God, God does not change. God's commands stand still. They stand up of their own accord. They do not budge. They do not bend. They do not compromise. They do not blend in and camouflage in with everybody. All right? Lose that desire. Get rid of it. Repent of it. Repent of that temptation to compromise and advance the gospel. And if it makes enemies, guess what? God's kingdom has enemies. All right? This is not a surprise. This is Old Testament and New Testament. God's kingdom, God's people have enemies, and they are constantly there. Some enemies are clever and they infiltrate from within, and other enemies are just bold, brash in your face. They assault from without, and you know who you're dealing with, and at least that's obvious. Like we had at the school district last week, direct attack. Here comes this club called the Satan Club. Well, we all know what they're about. Okay, but sometimes it's much more clever and it comes from within. You've got to watch both flanks. You've got to be growing in the Lord personally, advancing the gospel personally into your life, into your church, watching out for infiltrations of falsehoods and everything else and temptations. And you've got to keep advancing the kingdom. And if that means that people of the other kingdom, the kingdoms of this world, if that means that they decide to hate you, well, they hated Jesus. They hated his disciples. They persecuted them. They made enemies. They didn't want persecution. They didn't want enemies. But we didn't pick this fight. We just walked. We're in it, though. It's here. So, no, I don't want you to go out and be rude and obnoxious and on purpose intentionally make enemies. But if the enemies exist, then I don't want you to compromise with them. Bring them to repentance. Bring them to Christ. And if they will repent, then you haven't compromised. You've brought them to Christ. They have given up and turned their back and abandoned what they were all about before. And they are now surrendered to Christ. And they're on your team. And we're on their team. And we're on Christ's team. And they're going to turn around and advance the kingdom alongside you as a brother or sister. All right? But we don't compromise and go halfway and meet them halfway. No, we want them fully converted. We want them converted. Jesus wants them converted, fully converted. And that will not happen. You cannot call someone to repentance by compromising with them. You cannot call someone to conversion by telling them that what they're up to is okay. Israel cannot conquer this land by surrendering to the land. They have to conquer it. All right? And they should do it quickly while they have some momentum. And so should you. God bless you. We'll go farther into chapter 18 next.